Good morning, everyone. Coming to you live from somewhere in the Middle East, it is Saturday morning's hottest streaming media political talk show, Inside the Eye, live with The Fedge.
If it was up to me, I'd dump the Israelis tomorrow.
Heck, did I just hear someone tell a standing member of Congress that if it were up to them, they would dump the Israelis tomorrow? Sounds like something you might hear right here on Inside the Eye Live.
The Fetch. What a man. Oh, my God. You have to listen to that show. He was brilliant. I didn't know he had gonads of steel like that and a mind like a frigging razor. I didn't realize he was so clear. He cut through this that cognitive dissonance that is going on in the whole patriot music movement.
And now it's time for Inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for the politically aware. From Amman, Jordan, this is The Fetch, and you are live Inside the Eye. Today's date is Saturday, July the 6th, 2019, and a good Saturday morning to all of you listening in the United States and Canada, and a good late afternoon to early evening to all of you listening in European and Asian time zones, and of course, wherever you are listening out there on the World Wide Web or our FM and micro FM broadcasting outlets. May all be well with you and yours. Quite a warm day here in Amman as temperatures hit a daytime high of 88 degrees at slightly past 5 in the afternoon. Now, local time, the temperature is sitting at 87 degrees, and there is a moderate breeze of around 12 miles per hour coming out of the west-northwest, and some of that has been making its way through the studio here. But with the persistent background noise coming from outside, the mosques, the horns, the cars, you name it, the people screaming, windows have been shut. And so at present, it feels more like an oven with studio temperatures sitting at right around 86 to 87 degrees. So we're about ambient temperature inside the house here. However, we are set, everybody, for a fantastic evening, though we should be somewhere around the mid-70s, around 9 o'clock p.m., 73 by midnight, and an overnight low of 68 degrees in the hour before sunrise. So it's going to be a really, really nice evening here. And that is, quite frankly, what makes Amman so nice. It's exceptional. What can I say? Evenings here are always good. Happy 4th of July weekend, everybody, to all of you listening in the United States, of course, with July 4th falling on a Thursday this year. That is made for what most employees call an extended holiday weekend, of course, the employers too. And I have no doubt that many of our American listeners have been rather enjoying the weekend, and as well you should. The extended weekend means lots of getaway for Americans, and something that I frankly sort of miss. I did enjoy, honestly, getting away, going out to Arizona, going to the river, or just doing something. I would spend a lot of times myself. I would take the trains when I didn't have a lot of money, guys. I would take the train, what's called the Blue Line, in downtown LA, and I would take that down to Long Beach, and then from Long Beach, I would sit out in the grass and check out the Long Beach fireworks display, which at the time would go out over the Spruce Goose and the Queen Mary. And of course, I used to think to myself, how cool would it be to be in one of those sailboats out on Long Beach Harbor enjoying the fireworks show? But that's what I used to do. I just did that a lot. And then I moved down to Long Beach and I could actually walk to the darn thing, which was not such a bad thing. But for a lot of people down in Southern California, at least actually just Southern California, to those of you who don't know America, our international audience, 3.5 million Southern California residents alone, 3.5 million Southern California residents alone are projected to get out for this weekend. Now, AAA, which is the Automobile Association of America, projected that out of the 3.5 million people in Southern California that were going to be traveling this weekend, 2.8 million of those were going to travel by car, 471,000 of those were going to travel by air, and 278,000 of those were going to travel by either bus, train, or even a cruise ship. And for record purposes here, a trip is 50 miles or more. Top destinations for Southern Californians were Las Vegas, San Diego, San Francisco. I can't imagine going to San Francisco nowadays. Seattle, local travel, of course, the Grand Canyon, Anaheim. People get out to go to Disneyland. I'm not so sure I would actually go to Disneyland on a day like. Actually, you know, if you're raised in Southern California like I was, after you've done the Disneyland type of stuff, you know, early in your life from 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 years with the schools or whatever, with the field trips, Disneyland kind of wore off. You just kind of got tired of all the lines. And by the time you grew up a little bit, mid-teens, later teens, Disneyland, quite frankly, wasn't all it was, I don't know, promoted to be. Again, holiday trip is 50 miles or more. So it's huge. It's a huge event. You know, Boston in America, Boston is the largest actual 4th of July celebration in the States, whereby some 3.5 million Southern Californians were getting away. Almost 3 million visitors from all over the world were actually going to Boston, to the Boston Harbor Fest. Of course, that's where the Boston Tea Party took place. Their celebrations begin on July 1st, and that basically finishes action towards the 2nd. It's not so fast, but or not so long, but that's where the biggest display of 4th of July happened this weekend. Of course, perhaps one of the most bizarre displays of Americana is what's called the Coney Island Hot Dog Eating Contest. It occurs every 4th of July. Of course, they've got their fireworks, but if you like hot dogs, and I like a good hot dog. I don't like cheap hot dogs. I like a good hot dog. This is now going to be the 100th anniversary of the annual Nathan's Famous International Hot Dog Eating Contest, and it is the flagship eatery contest in the world, quite frankly. And contestants from around the world, really, they would first to get there, they had to win their local qualifying events just before you could actually get to Coney Island. And then you could vie to try to take out the current reigning champion. And it says here, Total purse is $40,000. Yeah, okay, that makes sense. Now, the single greatest, of course, sporting event in America is that contest. It's been the reigning champion is a guy by Joey Chestnut, and he, of course, he's like God status in that world. You know, I don't know what him and a guy by the name of Japan's Takeru Kobayashi. If you remember Kobayashi, he was a little tiny guy, and between Joey Chestnut and Takeru Kobayashi, only once since 2001 has somebody other than those two actually won the event. Now, Kobayashi hasn't actually been at these events for years now. He's somewhat retired, I guess you could say. But in 2015, a guy by the name of Matt Stoney took home the title after eating 62 hot dogs. Chestnut ate only 60. Of course, Joey Chestnut went into this competition as a favorite. So if you were going to gamble on Joey Chestnut, you weren't going to win a lot of money, because Joey Chestnut, quite frankly, he did win, but this time with a staggering, get this, guys, 71 hot dogs, and that includes the bun, in 10 minutes. That's right, 71 hot dogs in 10 minutes. Meanwhile, Miki Sudo, she managed to breeze through 31 hot dogs within the same time limit. The women's division, it competes earlier in the day. And so basically, both of those guys and gals, I guess you could say, Joey Chestnut and Miki Sudo both took home a $10,000 prize for winning the event. And when we get into the idea of income parity, this is kind of one of those events that shows you that income parity isn't necessarily justified, because quite frankly, not only did Joey Chestnut down double the number, plus what Miki could do, obviously the men's division, being what it is, brings in a lot of the extra advertising, etc., and eyeballs and everything you can go with it. So in reality, quite frankly, Mr. Chestnut would have earned, quite frankly, twice the prize of Miki Sudo. But hats off to the Coney Island people who believe in, I guess, income parity, even though it doesn't necessarily work out that way. But still, $10,000 for a single day just to down, I guess, 71 hot dogs in 10 minutes. That's not, that's not a very bad payday. So good for them. You know, other places in America that have some pretty cool, not necessarily fireworks, but July 4th celebrations, Bristol, Rhode Island. It's kind of famous because it's the longest one, because that's where America's flag was first found, in Bristol, Rhode Island. So they start with June 14th, which is Flag Day, and they conclude with a 2.5 mile military, civic, and fireman's parade, which ends on July 4th. So, you know, military being involved in a parade, which is somewhat of an Independence Day. I don't know why the leftists and some of these Jewish media outlets are making such a big fuss of having military displays at a July 4th Independence Day celebration in Washington, D.C., but they did. You know, what's interesting here is when you look at how it's worded, just kind of give you guys a feel for the expatriate world. Military, civic, and fireman's parade, that would basically, military would be set aside, civic and fireman's would be called civil defense here in the Middle East and elsewhere around the world. So basically you have your military defense and then you have your civil defense. So civil defense would include the police, some of the internal security organs, and of course the firemen. And not just the firemen, guys, your first responders of any form are considered part of civil defense here in the Middle East. And so kind of it's just how it is. You know, an interesting thing is Chicago. Chicago, of course, they've come up with, somebody had a really brilliant idea, and that is to have a real live fireworks tour of Chicago. And for $150, you could actually get into an armored personnel carrier with bulletproof glass, and they would take you through some of the gang areas of South and West Chicago. And if you were lucky, you would be able to see some of the guys and gals in the black communities down there shooting it up. And you could see the sparks flying off of cars and off the sidewalks and things like that. But apparently that plant just never quite, it didn't quite materialize. I think they didn't get the permit for that. But kind of an interesting idea, you know, why not? You know, let's get ourselves an armored personnel carriers and kind of drive through the black communities down there and see just how many people can get shot up while they wage their own brand of fireworks down in Chicago. I'm not sure how many people have been shot down there in Chicago so far this weekend. I'm kind of curious. I'm not going to go look it up. I don't have time to keep the show moving, but I'm sure it's going to be in the 50s, 60s, 70s, something like that. It's going to be pretty big. You know, we talk about independence in America. First of all, good morning, everybody. If I haven't said that already, good morning. This is The Fetch, Inside the Eye Live. Again, intelligent media for the politically aware. We're going out from Amman, Jordan. Again, happy 4th of July weekend to all our friends in the United States. For the rest of you, bear with us. We're not going to stick on American politics, or I should say American independence, all that long. But it is what it is. You know what I mean? Chat room's open. I'm there, actually. I actually am there. I haven't really checked in yet. I'm going to check in. Now, guys, I assume, you know, somebody's saying Chicago should have a live fire drill. But I am there, guys. I'm assuming we are coming through okay. I haven't seen anything so far that says we're not coming through A-okay. But I do see we are a bit, it's quiet. I think it's okay. I don't know. We're going to come up with like scales for the chat room. 20 is humming. Currently we're sitting at 17. Guys, we need a number for 17. I don't think that's quiet. I'm thinking like below 10 or below 8 is dead. Okay. Below 10 would be dead. From 10 to 15 is quiet. Maybe 16 to 20 is okay. And then 20 plus would be humming, and 30 plus might be blazing. And I don't know from there, but right now we're okay. I think we're going to just call it okay for 15, 16 to 20, something like that. So right now the chat room is okay, everybody. And it's George, again, George and everybody, we just want to say again, you know, we're really getting preparing for the move. We had movers come by today. Just kind of throw you in this off the track here. Movers came by today. We got quotations on moving a lot of stuff out of here. And we're trying to drive the price down, to say the least, so we can afford to move. But it's been not so stressful, to be honest with you. Not so stressful. And it says some here, chat room was totally full of porn. I'm not sure there was actually porn in there. I'm usually pretty good at getting rid of that crap when it comes in. They do spam it. You know how it is. Jews are Jews, man. What can you do? They're disgusting people. That's my opinion, man. If you're going to go out and spam somebody's room with porn, you're pretty disgusting. And if you're Jewish, well, don't get upset with me. All right, everybody, where were we? We were talking about the July 4th thing, Chicago. We talked about, I thought it was a great idea. It's actually my idea of hiring out the armored personnel carriers with bulletproof glass so that you can actually go through the black areas. And let me, it'd be kind of interesting to see if you can, you know, have people like shooting at you and things like that, make it really lifelike, you know. You know, in America, it's a big country, everybody. 14,000 fireworks displays were set off in the United States over this weekend so far. And of that, it's estimated that almost 25,000 pounds of explosives were used to pull off this display. So what a way to spend your Independence Day revelry or something like that. But really, when you think about it, is America really independent nowadays? Is it really an independent nation? I'm not so sure it really is, quite frankly. You know, the original Independence Day Revolutionary War was really to kick Jews out of the country in a very indirect way, but to kick out the banking financial interest of the UK from the American colonies. And essentially that kind of got co-opted, I think, with Madison. I believe it was Madison, and then Andrew Jackson kicked out the bankers entirely. And then, of course, we had the Civil War, which brought in some type of communist style legal system to the American way. And then, of course, by 1913, you had the Federal Reserve completely come in and destroy once and for all. It was just a matter of just how long it would take to show the decay and the rot that Jewish banking systems would bring to your country. And of course, we see that all over the United States now, with all the homeless and the tent cities and the, you know, just the garbage. You know, you look at things like Seattle. Seattle used to be such a beautiful town, and now it's basically a trash heap. And that is, to me, what Jewish policies will bring to you. Jewish policies are going to bring trash, and there's no way around it. So, but really, is America independent? Now, we had the case yesterday whereby British Marines flew over to an area in Gibraltar and actually captured a Iranian oil tanker, super tanker, 300,000 metric ton tanker. And I'm like, you know, this is piracy on the high seas. And it's like, well, it's in violation of sanctions that the United States and the EU have put in place. Well, so what? You know what? These are your sanctions within your own nations. The idea that you can go out and you can capture another nation's naval vessels on the high seas. These are acts of war. And we've been trying to get that across to a lot of people there. These are pure acts of war. And the idea that the British and the Americans, for that matter, being American myself, think that we should be able to go around the world and commit acts of piracy like we're a bunch of Jews, quite frankly, because Jews do this all the time around in and around Israel. If you look at what the Jews do to the Palestinians, they're always committing acts of piracy. They're always shooting things up for basically no reason at all often. And I just find it, quite frankly, wrong. It just smacks of a moral hypocrisy that is unbecoming of our Western way of life. Look, if you want to sanction a company, that's okay, or sanction a nation, I guess that could be okay. But any type of economic sanction, guys, is an act of war. And when you compound it by sending your Marines in, landing a helicopter on top of the ship, and essentially taking that ship, well, this is an act of piracy. It is something that, again, I think that Yeah, people. Anyways, I think it's something that we need to get away from, this type of behavior. We need to get more into a collaborative world effort, but we're never going to do that with literally Jewish people controlling our governments. And that's really what some of this theme will be as we move into hour number two. Of course, we have the other issues, the commercial areas coming up bottom of the hour here. But we're going to talk a little bit about, you know, is America really an independent country or is it under occupied government? And to me, America is a Zionist Jewish occupied government. It does not represent European values. It really represents Talmudic values. And because it represents Talmudic values, it's an unethical creation. It lacks morality. It lacks logic. It lacks reason. It lacks all manner of fairness. It is a bullying, crybaby type of establishment, foreign policy establishment. And it simply is unsustainable. I mean, you become a bully. You become untrustworthy. And these are issues facing America moving forward, because with the over-reliance of our foreign policy and our economic policy in the hands of Jewish occupied elements, countries, whether you believe it or not, are going to start to turn away from America, and they will look for ways to replace America and the American people. And that does not bode well, of course, for the American worker. And most of us, that's what we are. We are the working class for the most part. We rely upon our jobs. At the same time, the world for now relies upon our ability to produce. And if we don't have a need for us, then of course that is going to send American workers even further into a difficult world. But apparently, with all of this protectionist efforts by the Trump administration, you know, maybe, just maybe, a lot of jobs can be brought back home. I saw just the other day that American labor added, I think, another 200 plus thousand employees to the non-farm payrolls, which is a pretty impressive feat. And we'll just have to see how things keep playing out here. But that's it to start the show, everybody. Inside the Eye Live, Intelligent Media for the Politically Aware. Again, it's July the 6th, 2019. Back with more right after this. And welcome back, everybody. It's the Fetch, Inside the Eye Live, Intelligent Media for the Politically Aware. Saturday, July 6th. At least it seems to be that way. I hope your day's going well. It's hot here, to be honest with you, as we've shut all the windows. We just had a trash truck drive by, believe it or not. Man, that thing was loud, but I'm like, hopefully, trying to not get into my Arabic here. Hopefully the thing will leave before I had to go live, and it did, just by about 30 seconds, 22 seconds, something like that. Anyways, guys, good afternoon. It's independent. This is, again, it's listener sponsored radio. It does rely, of course, on your donations to help keep the network alive, up and running. Guys, keep the platform up. I know it's a lot of work to get money out. It's a holiday weekend. Not expecting anybody to jump today to go do something like that. But again, the best way to do that, it's independent to me. Go over to revolution.radio. That's revolution.radio. And go ahead and make your donations there. That's the best way to get that done. As for me, again, we are moving. We've started a couple GoFundMes. I'm not sure those are even going to be able. I got word from GoFundMe this week that they're going to be canceling the campaign because I'm not in the United States. So I'm looking to see what I can do about that. Robert, we did get something from you. It never made it through, unfortunately. He had sent us $10 to, you know, sponsor the balance of the ITIL Cat Report, save the ITIL Cat Report. But we're going to open up, I think, something in the United States through the family privately, and we'll see what we can do to try to get this going. We've got most of the expenses now covered as far as costs, not covered, but we at least have the quotations now done. The last quotation to come in will be to transport the cats. And of course, it's not the cat report yet. Well, let me just start it, I guess. It's the ITEL Cat Report, proudly sponsored by North Kakalaki Trading Post. Good services and solutions for all creatures, great and small. It's independently located at the corner of Walk and Don't Walk and by Blackburn Nines Breakfast Club, a radio show hosted by Frederick C. Blackburn. You can catch Blackburn Nines Breakfast Club every Saturday, not Saturday, every Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. on the Spreaker Radio Network. And, of course, for more information, visit blackbird9tradingpost.org. That's blackbird9tradingpost.org. And I can't get to that. I just can't get to the comments. It's an issue. By the way, now going back to the GoFundMes, guys, the GoFundMes were canceled. You have to have a U.S. bank account. So we were going to be opening up and using a U.S. bank account for that. And we already had that lined up. However, GoFundMe canceled it before. Now what we did, we set up two GoFundMes, one to help with the moving expense, about US $2,000, and then one for the cats, about $750. We received so far pledges of $345 for the moving expense, and so far have raised about $440, actually spent now, for the cats. And that was partially a huge donation from George, just George. I won't say George and where you're at, George. You don't have to admit to anything after that. But we did receive these two. Now, the cats have already been expensed. They have their shots. They are actually, Pressy is right here on my desk, like one I used to be. She loves to sit here. Pressy kind of worries me a bit, man. I think she's kind of like semi-deaf. Seriously, I think she's semi-deaf because when I call her, she just walks like she doesn't hear a thing. And when I say, you know, she doesn't move. Her ears don't move. I'm like, man, can you hear me? Let me look. Pressy. Yeah, she doesn't move. She just like sits there. Now, if she sees your face, she'll react, but she will not move just by vocal commands. Pressy. No, she doesn't move. She just sits there. So I'm thinking that either my pitch tone and she's deaf to my pitch tone or something like that. But she just doesn't seem to really hear very well. And I'm like, you know, that's really bizarre, you know, because we had Bruiser the blind cat. And now don't tell me I got Pressy the deaf cat. Because that's going to be really bizarre if I end up with two massively handicapped cats in the span of, you know, as it is. So that's the dang thing about Pressy. But guys, we've got basically everything going along smooth with that. The kittens are coming along great. Her four kittens are all fat, healthy. The eyes are starting to remain open. Sometimes they're open, sometimes closed, but they look like they're starting to remain open. And we got two pure white cats. Yes, we are a racially oriented show here, guys. There are two white cats here. Then we've got one mixed tabby, like orange, black, and silver gray. Kind of a pretty cat, actually, but man, so noisy. This little guy or girl, I don't know what it is so noisy. It's like, come on, relax, dude. I'm just kind of holding you. And he just screams up a storm. Spikers and Ming Ming, they're just good friends, guys. They like to play a lot. They were something last night, man. Spikers came over, smacked Ming Ming upside the head. I was out like 11 o'clock last night on my balcony, and there's a stairway that goes up to the roof. It's a functional roof. You can use it. So literally, Spikers came by, just smacked him upside the head, smacked Ming Ming upside the head, then tore off up to the roof. I'm like, well, that was bizarre. And then, of course, Ming Ming's chasing Spikers right afterwards, so they played up on the roof for about an hour and a half before they came back down somewhere around 1 o'clock when I called it a night. So, but everything is pretty quiet. You know, the cats are now, everything is fine. They've got their shots. They've got their papers. We've got the Ministry of Agriculture certification to get them exported out of here. So as far as that goes, guys, everything is going fine on the cat side of things. And of course, for that, that will be the ITEL Cat Report. Again, proudly sponsored by North Kakalaki Trading Post, good services and solutions for all creatures, great and small, and by Blackburn Nines Breakfast Club. And for more information, everybody, visit Blackburn Nines Breakfast Club at blackbird9tradingpost.org. That's blackbird9tradingpost.org. And from there, you can catch a show again every Wednesday evening from 8 to 10 p.m. on the Spreaker Radio Network. And you might want to check out this week's show because he had equally a show. I believe that's what I read. Something to do with, you know, the initial American Revolution being about a protest against Jewish banking. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong, but I believe that's what it was. And so go check that out. It should be a good show. He always puts on a good effort every week. So check out BlackBird9TradingPost.org and Blackbird Nine's Breakfast Club. It is now time for the Oy Vey moment, and I think we can get that queued up for you easy enough here if I can see. That looks good there. And again,
Oy Vey! Oy Gewalt! It's like another shower!
Oy Vey!
Oy Vey!
Oy Vey, everybody!
How is it run by Jews? It's owned by Jews. Very goddamn angry at some of the Jews.
I drive on boy of tears.
Oy vey!
Oy vey, everybody!
The Oy Vey Moment is proudly sponsored by Andrew Carrington Hitchcock, author of The Synagogue of Satan, updated, expanded, and uncensored. The Synagogue of Satan, updated, expanded, and uncensored, features a rapturous 144,000 words that is replete with additional articles never before seen in print. And after having its distribution banned by Amazon and Lulu, The Synagogue of Satan, updated, expanded, and uncensored, is now available from Andy himself at andrewcarringtonhitchcock.com. Get your copy today, won't you? Of course, don't forget to listen to Andy's The Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show, which streams Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock a.m. to 11 o'clock a.m. Eastern on Eurofolk Radio at eurofolkradio.com. To listen, simply visit eurofolkradio.com during showtime and click on the Listen Live link or visit andrewcarringtonhitchcock.com for Andy's free show archives, which comprises one of the most extensive guest lists in the alternative media. And this week's Oy Vey Moment, the first one, we're going to go over to Melbourne, Australia, and this is probably right out of the self-inflicted Oy Vey, my goodness, I'm so traumatized, I'm going to basically deface my own property storyline. But there's been a Jewish-owned cafe in Melbourne, Australia. It was defaced, oh my gosh, with anti-Semitic graffiti on Thursday. And that is according to Australian Jewish News as they are reporting. So there's a gal, I think her name is a gal, Aliza, sounds like a gal. I guess in Jewish culture, it doesn't matter. They're all basically homosexual, gay sex, whatever. But anyways, Aliza Chevalley, owner of Aliza's Place Cafe in Melbourne's suburb of Chadstone, arrived at work to find the words, "The Holocaust is a lie," scrawled on the back fence, along with a swastika. Oh my gosh. In other words, somebody basically wrote the truth, and Ms. Aliza is having a traumatic experience about that. So when she was speaking to the Australian Jewish News, she said she never thought she would experience anti-Semitism in Melbourne. Well, you know what, Ms. Chevalley, or whatever your name is, Chevalley, we experience Jewish hatred against us all the time. We see it everywhere. We see you whining about anti-Semitism. Anti-Semitism at this stage is nothing but Jewish hatred of any voices that they don't like. And whether or not she doesn't understand history is not our business. She says, "I can't not ignore this symbol. All my family were Holocaust survivors." Yeah, you're all survivors, you moron. You're survivors. You're survived. It's like, oh, we're survived. Yeah, because there was no Holocaust. That's why you survived, you idiot. Literally, they want to sit there and draw. They want us to cry at every little story. Oh, we were survivors. Yeah, well, so what? There were a lot of people that survived, bro, but because of you Jews, 100 million people didn't make it, okay? Now that's a lot of non-survivors there. And on a weekend like Independence Day holiday in America, the last thing we want to hear is a bunch of Jews whining. Seriously, a bunch of Jews whining. Yet here they are in Melbourne. I know it's not our country, but they're whining. And get how stupid these people are, guys. This is the traumatized, I don't know, brain of a child. She goes, I started to shake. You started to shake? Are you out of your mind? You know, come on, guys. You know, I don't even know. Every week I read these stories about these pathetic, limp, you know what, Jews complaining about something. And it's like, oh, you started to shake over something on your fence. Are you out of your mind? Seriously, are you out of your mind? You're shaking. You're shaking. You know what? We watch you Jews slaughter people in Palestine every week. And guess what? We're not shaking. We're not like, no. We understand Jews are a sadistic culture. 50%, this is not even a joke, guys. Over 50% of Jewish people want to see the Palestinians ethnically cleansed to include genocide. And yet here's a woman asking us to feel emotion and pity for her because of a word, the Holocaust is a lie, with a swastika painted on her stupid fence, and she happened to go in the back. You know, I don't know about you guys, but after I've been visiting someplace a lot, I generally don't go all over my property. And I don't know why, but why was she in the back? She says here, I cannot ignore the symbol, all my survivors, my mother's parents, my husband's parents. For me, it's hurting twice. Oh, give us a break. Seriously, you need to be institutionalized. This woman needs, if you're having problem and traumatized over something like this, get out of business, go back to Israel and cry. Seriously, get out of business, sell your business, go back to Israel and cry. Because quite frankly, I don't have any sympathy for somebody that tries to play an emotional BS card like this on me or anybody else. This is pathetic. This is like a loser admitting she is now scared. Oh, you're scared over something like this. Are you kidding me? Have you ever been around a bunch of immigrant people, violent immigrants that you Jews have imported into parts of our world? You want to talk about scared, Miss Chevalli? Give us a break. Seriously. She says, I couldn't close the cafe. It's not going to break me. You're not going to close the cafe because it didn't happen. But all you want to do is whine about it. And to me, guys, the more Jewish people whine about it, and this is probably self-inflicted anyways. I'm not even believing this actually happened. The more Jewish people whine about it, the more we should just come down and say, stop. We're not interested in your complaining, your whining, your cowardice. We have enough problems on our hands because of you Jews. We don't care whether people don't like you anymore. After all, Barbara Spector said, hey, we Jews are going to be front and center in destroying Western civilization, and Jews are going to be resented for that. And guess what? She's right. You're resented for it. Now, she says here, these bigoted thugs and their cowardly attempts at intimidation must not go unchallenged. Well, so too must the bigoted charge of anti-Semitism waged by Jews against anybody you Jews are opposed to. Neither should that go unchallenged anymore. There should never be some Jews standing up saying, this is an anti-Semite, and then nobody challenges it. Everybody should challenge it. Everybody should scream at that Jewish person, shout them down, make them feel small, make them feel as uncomfortable as the Jewish person intended for the intended target when that Jew used the term anti-Semite. That's what should happen. It is a rhetorical war we are engaged in. The fact of the matter is we do not control the media. How many of you out there can look at any major newspaper out there, even a minor community newspaper, and consider that your own? How many of you can claim things like this? The Australian Jewish News. How many of you can get away with it? Can you imagine the American German News? The American British News? How about the American white nationalist news? Can you imagine that? But it's okay to have Jewish news, right? Why can't we put the American nationalist news out there? If we put out the American nationalist news, do you think the Jews would stand for that, or would they shout it down? American national, but it's okay to have an Australian Jewish news, right? It's okay to have an American Jewish news. It's okay to have a British Jewish news. It's okay to have everything Jewish, whatever Jews say, it's okay. But the second we try to have our own say in our own countries, these people want to shout us down. Again, don't call us a bigoted thug, you bigoted. It's a woman. I could have easily said that, but it's Saturday morning. Now, later this month, later that month, this was going back in January, says in January, a man attacked a rabbi. Well, maybe the rabbi was being an idiot. I mean, people get attacked all the time. I've been attacked on the streets. I've actually been hit so hard in the face. I had a black eye for about 3 weeks. Okay, that happens, woman. Am I supposed to say, oh, these are anti-white people and they're being radicalized by Jewish thinking and Jews are a threat to all of us? Well, here's what she's saying. You know, the rabbi was attacked and threatened that he would do what Hitler did. Okay, well, whatever. Only because he picked up a cell phone. Oh, give us a break. Only because he's probably being a jerk. The fact of the matter is he was probably being a jerk if he was indeed attacked. Now, in February, there was a place in Australia called Bondi Beach, and it's located east of Sydney, and it was, oh, look at this, guys. This is terrible. It was defaced with a swastika. Wow, it was defaced with, and you know what? In Jewish culture, guys, these people are such idiots. This is a big deal to them. The fact that there's a swastika somewhere, Jews will like go into like breathless panics. Why is it that they're giving a white people opioids? Why shouldn't we be giving the entire Jewish population opioids? Why shouldn't the entire Jewish community be targeted with opioids? Obviously, they have mental problems. Because if you're getting all huffed up and puffed up about a swastika, man, you got mental issues. Serious, serious mental issues. Going over to the UK, because it's American Independence Day, and really the issue at hand is not so much that it's Independence Day. You know, we kind of joke with our British friends about, you know what, we kicked you out once, it's time to kick you out again. But it's really not the British that people are trying to kick out. You know, it's another one of these cases where, like, you talk about the Russians. You know, everybody's angry with the Russians from World War II, but it wasn't the Russians that were the problems. It was the Jewish people acting under the facade of being Russians. And so the Russians to this day take a lot of the hit, a lot of the blame for what happened during 1930s, 1940s, 1950s. But the reality of it was this was all Jewish policies. Jews cowardly acting under a facade of the Russian people. And when we look back at the British had a lot of, with all due respect, they did. And same with the Americans. Americans are not saints here either. But the reality of it is that it's Jewish banking interests. A lot of this economic stuff, this acquisition of raw material, acquisition of commodities, this is all really instigated by Jewish banking interests. And if we can rid ourselves of Jewish banking interests like Germany did, we could probably do a much better job at managing ourselves and having a bunch of idiots in these little hats telling us what to do. Because we feel now that we are somewhat under an occupied regime. And when I look at the UK, I see a country that is absolutely, I mean, same with the US, but when I look at both the UK and the US, I see two countries that are under absolute near dictatorial Jewish subversion now, where these people tell us what to do, when to think. And case in point, Gordon Brown, how can you not look at this guy as an agent of the Jewish people? He makes a statement, automatically expel anti-Semites in labor, automatically, just expel them. So essentially what they want to do in the UK is that you just need to have a charge. If you're labeled an anti-Semite, you're kicked out of any chance of being able to represent your people within your own land. And to me, this is very evident of a foreign occupation. Who is it for Jews to tell the British what to do inside of the UK? How is it that Jews have come about to be such a dominant factor that you have these classless idiots like Gordon Brown telling the British people that they should be automatically expelling anti-Semites from labor? Why should not Gordon Brown be automatically expended or expelled from the British Isles itself as a traitor to the British people? These are issues facing really the West. We have come down to this level of enemy occupation of our lands. And we'll speak a little bit more about that on the other side of the hour here. It's The Fetch, Inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for the politically aware. Back with more right after this. All right, everybody, welcome back. It's The Fetch, Inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for the politically aware. Again, July 6, 2019. Good holiday, I guess, Independence Day holiday for all of you in the United States. Of course, it's a long weekend. It's hot here again. It's very hot, quite frankly, in the studio at this stage. So we're upwards of 86 degrees. It's about 84 now outside. It's very still warm, I guess, for ambient temperature. But there's no breeze in here, everybody. The chat room, InsideTheEyeLive.com. That's InsideTheEyeLive.com. You can click on the live chat button. It is officially now humming. We consider 20 and above to be humming. And so it's officially humming. So welcome, everybody. I see Hans just arrived. Snippets, Space Heat, Blackbird, Frederick Blackburn there. Everybody, guys, nice to see you. I hope your Saturday's going good. Good to see you on a Saturday for sure. Let's see. Can't really read that one. Okay, I'm not sure. Somebody put something up about our friends over at KSEO. You know, the KSEO story, guys, if you were following us a while ago with Georgia, KSEO Presents Georgia, she was on another show. I don't have the name of it in front of me. I apologize. I'm just kind of going up the top of my head, but she was there. We'll try to get it put up on both Grisms and my site, just to kind of get it a little bit of more distribution there. And I'll tell you, that story is not going away. You know, what we have to do really on a very practical level is we must take the battle to the enemy. Because when you look at what Jewish press is doing to us, what the fake news is doing to us, what the SPLC and the ADL and various Jewish groups are doing to us collectively, it is an act of war. It's a rhetorical war at this stage, but it's also very violent. You know, you go into places like Portland and places also inside of the UK. We heard Breiser from Ireland. There was a interview taking place with two guys in Ireland, and some flake Antifa woman took milkshake and curry powder and a few other chemicals, actually substances, threw it into the face of somebody sitting, just minding their own business, sitting there in Ireland. So, guys, these guys are we are dealing with an unhinged, desperate. Opponent here. You know, at the end of the day, if we continue on with this methodical, somewhat droning, pressing our message time in and time out, guys, we don't need 100,000 impressions because we speak true. We're not speaking of things that are not true, that do not resonate with people. We're very practical in what we're saying. Look, we are under an occupied government. Our government doesn't care one thing about us. They are putting Jewish interest above the interest of the American people. Yeah, Mer Bailey puts it here, Fight White Genocide, podcast number 15, an interview with Georgia Peach. So number 15, man, you know how many shows we've done, guys? I can't imagine, man. I got to go count them. But I bet you it's close to 750 shows now, something like that. Yeah, they're saying also here about, you know, just the violence of the left. Some, they said that they put cement in the milkshake that they threw at Andy Ngo, he's a conservative guy. I mean, he's a white nationalist type of guy, American nationalist, let's call it American nationalist guy. He's gay. I don't care if you're gay, if you're rational. And so they put like cement in this guy's quote unquote milkshake that they threw at him. So guys, we are dealing with unhinged elements, and they're becoming unhinged because quite frankly, they have lost in some circles the rhetorical battle. So now they are being forced to move into their own brand of hooliganism. And I saw something the other day on, I believe, Minds or Gab, and it showed the SS, not the SS, the brown shirts of the Germans. And it said, you know, if years ago, you know, Antifa was like this, and actually, you know, and if we don't stop it, history's going to repeat itself. And I'm like, no, because really the German brown shirts rose up in protest and to defend the German people against Antifa. Antifa was already in existence back in the 1920s. It was an anti-fascist movement. It was a communist movement. And the brown shirts rose up against that. And we were talking the other day with Breiser over on Inside the ILI Primetime. And it's like, you know, 20 years ago, the British and the Irish made the truce that ended the Irish-British War, whatever you want to call that war. And the British were handed their butts to them in a lot of cases in Ireland against the Irish Republican Army. And now 20 years later, everybody says, well, we don't want any violence, and everybody can respect that. But at the same time, isn't there some way to exert community pressure on people to simply behave in a sound and rational manner without saying violence, where you just go out there and just... But when we know the perpetrators and we know the people conducting the negative behavior against everybody, isn't there some way the community can rise up and literally deal with these people? I think it's fair because the police are not there to protect you. In fact, they're perhaps there to help the Antifa elements. Another story I saw coming out of Spain this week. Again, Jewish people are afraid of a swastika. Think about it. You paint a, they see a swastika somewhere, never mind if it's in all goodwill, and that the swastika was always an omen of goodwill, even in America up until the 1930s. The fact that Jews have declared war on our symbols should not be tolerated. The fact that they're scared of something is not our business. Seriously. It's just not our business. And so in Spain, which is just one of the lands where Jews have engineered massive immigration, unbridled immigration, unchecked immigration. And there was a woman who was raped in Spain, and it was a fairly small town. And the police were able to catch this guy. But the entire town came out and surrounded the police who are now protecting that rapist who was not even Spanish. Think about that for a second. In Israel, seriously, in Israel, if they don't like you, I'm talking about the settlers, one of the things they recently did is they forced this kid to drink gasoline and then they lit him on fire. How disgusting is that? But that's the Jewish people for you. They are almost into ritual slaughter. That's really what I see within the Jewish people. And to watch Miss Shavalny or whatever her name was in Melbourne, oh, I saw a swastika, I'm so afraid. Give us a break, woman. You want to see fear? You live in the communities engineered by you Jewish people against the rest of us. Then tell me how people are afraid. We don't need to hear you whining about a swastika. We have situations in Spain where the police are actually protecting a rapist that the Jewish community engineered bringing into the country. And it's not just five people. We're talking about 1,000 people surrounding the police, basically saying, give us this guy. And that's where we are going with this. And again, it has to be done smart. It has to be done cleverly. But we have a situation now where the police are allowing assault. When you use substances like curry and concrete and other types of chemicals and you just throw it at people, how can you not look at this and see this as assault? And yet we've got guys who accidentally hit people inside of a protest where Antifa is going crazy. And yet the guy's getting life in prison because someone died. Yet we see assaults day in and day out by the leftists in our country. Happy Independence Day, July 4th. Frank, how are you?
Hey, Dennis. Yeah, I always find it a depressing day, actually. But you know me, I'm the old pessimist, and I don't see any independence. It's actually a day, it's a sad day for me, because it just really, you know, you reflect on it and just see, you know, how far we've come, and the delusional American people who think because Trump is president that, hey, we have freedom and it's our military and, you know, all this kind of nonsense. But anyway, I did want to add something real quick. You know, the Jews also have created an environment where just an everyday guy who would never hurt anybody, who, you know, happens to work in a cubicle in corporate America, or you know, work wherever, if he steps out of line one time and utters a different opinion, he's fired. He's fired. How do you like that, Jews? I mean, that's terrorism. The Jews are the terrorists. They created an environment where it's like a minefield. I mean, if we step out of line one time, oh, you know, you're a pretty good guy. You're a pretty good worker. But, hey, sorry, I got to fire you because the Jews. Well, they'll never tell you it's because of the Jews. They might not even know. But you and I both know it's because of the Jews, period.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's like, yeah, you're walking on like eggshells everywhere you go because you're afraid to speak.
Right.
And this isn't freedom. This isn't what America.
You step out of line one time and just say something that might even be construed as having the wrong opinion. Oh, sorry, your life's over.
And it's not just that.
All right, Dennis, that's all I got.
All right, thanks, Frank. That's Frank. Thank you. All right, that's Frank, everybody. And Frank's got a point there. And it's not just what you say today; it's what you said on a post in your social media 20 years ago, 15 years ago, 10 years ago. I got calls coming in. Hold on a second, guys. I'm not going to take the call, but I'm going to cancel the call. I can't silence it, guys. I don't know how to do that. Let's see. Where were we? Where were we? Yeah, it's not just that, but it's, and like now the U.S. State Department wants all your social media posts before you can apply for a visa. This type of intrusiveness, again, here you are allowing millions of illegal people into your country, but you're going to go out and ask for people's social media, to get a visa to come to the United States. So what you're really telling people is you're trying to make people afraid to do anything. You're making people in this world afraid to speak up, to speak out about anything. And that, in many ways, is not what we should be about as Americans. I don't care what your views are per se, to be honest with you, as long as I'm allowed to speak my mind equally. And we're not at that stage anymore. It's essentially what Jews want to allow to be said, and everything else is actually, quote unquote, verboten. How can this be acceptable in today's world? One issue, like Frank mentions, and I think this might be a situation where we should start to use Independence Day as a means to focus on occupation. When I say occupation, I mean the U.S. government is no longer the government of the American people, but the United States government has become a government of Jewish interest and Jewish interests alone. For instance, there are now 27 United States states have passed laws aimed at curbing our rights as citizens to boycott Israel. Now, here we live in a country where we have trade wars. We have basically blockaded Iran because Jews want it that way. We have blockaded so many various countries, Venezuela being another. We have created so much chaos for the average man and woman on the street, which is unfair to them, quite frankly. They have no stake in this. They're like you and I. At the end of the day, we don't have all that power. We're not the ones making the decisions. But because Jews want something from these countries, they want to extricate some type of concession, they draconically try to destroy countries. They create acts of war against countries. That's what a boycott is when you actually enforce it. When you're enforcing the boycott, everybody, that's an act of war. Now, if you choose not to buy something, that should be your choice. But in America, 27 U.S. states have passed laws aimed at curbing our ability, quite frankly, to boycott Israel. Now, there's a guy by the name of Gilad Erdan. He's a minister for strategic affairs and information under the current Benjamin Netanyahu regime in Israel. And he was speaking to the Jerusalem Post recently. In fact, it was just a couple weeks ago. And he bragged, literally bragged openly, that the Israeli government had taken its fight to the enemy. And that includes BDS. Now get that. The Israelis are admitting that they have taken the fight to the enemy, and that includes BDS. And over half of the U.S. states in America now are making it somewhat illegal to boycott, or it will become you cannot get certain contracts if you boycott Israel. What the Israeli government has said, and therefore to use the same parlance as it's used in geopolitics today, what the Israeli people have said is that the American people are enemies of Israel. We are their enemies. That's coming straight from the Jewish government. He said it, not me. He said, we have taken the fight to the enemy, and that includes BDS. And when you put laws in place that preclude Americans from boycotting Israel, then Americans themselves have become the enemy. We hear all these stories about Russian collusion and Russia involving themselves in American politics. Yet here is a minister for strategic affairs and information under the Netanyahu regime openly telling us, the American people, that we are the enemy and that they are actively engaged in getting laws passed that silence us as Americans to just follow our conscience. He says here, quoting, he said, we tore off their masks. We exposed their ties to terror. We exposed their deep-rooted anti-Semitism. We exposed their opposition to peace. And we exposed, of course, their hypocrisy. They couldn't care less about the real human rights violations. For example, in Syria and Iran, all they care about is demonizing and delegitimizing the world's only Jewish and democratic state. Well, he's full of crap. Plain and simple, he's full of crap. For him to sit there and call us Americans terrorists, for this Jewish scumbag again, guys, to sit there and say that we Americans are filled with hypocrisy, that we Americans don't care about real human rights, that we Americans are not aware of the fact that the Jewish state is currently involved in trafficking children's organs, then this Jew should not be allowed back into our country under any circumstances, and anybody linked to this terrorist should be rounded up and completely taken out from America's political jurisdictions. There should be no patience for this level of enemy criticism of the American people by this enemy of America, Mr. Benjamin Netanyahu, and his Minister for Strategic Affairs, Gilad Erdan. Who is he to come to our country as Americans, guys and girls and gals, and sit here and dictate to us that we're terrorists? Well, he's getting into our pockets and he's like stealing $4 billion a month to go ahead and co-opt our American system on behalf of his terrorist organization called the Netanyahu regime of Israel. And that includes you, Mr. Trump, and your support for this chaotic, psychotic country that's called Israel. The idea, guys, that an Israeli, a Jew, a non-American citizen should be able to walk into our country and literally tell us what can and cannot be done by us, the American people, is an absolute egregious example of Jews imposing themselves upon our American system. Then Erdogan, he takes credit for American laws. He says, our efforts are producing results, which means that the Israeli government's efforts, a foreign enemy state to the American people. He says 27 states now have counter BDS legislation. Let's give a hand to all the governors and support of this law. They deserve it. Now you have an Israeli openly advocating that the American people are enemies to him and his psychotic, psychopathic regime called Israel. And it is a regime. It is a vile, disgusting land where they practice all manner of debauchery, cruelty, and you can't even imagine how sick these people are. You really cannot. It's evil beyond incarnate. And now he's saying that 27 states have passed laws that he personally is advocating for as an enemy of the American people. And on Independence Day, how can you claim to be independent when 27, more than half of your states, are doing the bidding of a foreign agent who has declared the American people terrorists and enemies of the Jewish people? To draw this home, he says, actually, he produced a report. And you know what the report was called? Terrorists in Suits. Yeah, we're all terrorists in suits. And it aims to show that some Palestinians convicted of being members of terrorist organizations. Well, we don't care about that because to us, many, 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 many Jews should have been rounded up, convicted of terrorism following 9/11. Don't think that 9/11 just disappears. 9/11 was a Jewish construction to show the American people, to show the America is occupied, and that you, the Jewish people, can do whatever you want to that country. And the American people are going to be powerless to prevent anything against it. So to sit here and tell us, the American people, that we are enemies. Okay, thank you. You've been our enemy for a long time equally. Second, that you want to take credit for the laws you pass over us, the American people, in this case. And it's not just America, everybody. It's all over the West. This isn't a celebration of independence. This is a celebration of being conquered. And everybody, like Frank was even saying, is all cheerful and, oh boy, yes. But nobody is stopping to focus on the real issues here. We are an occupied country. He sits there and says, BDS is a haven for terrorists, which means that if you basically have a moral conscience that you do not want to support child trafficking, if you do not want to support unilateral detention of three-year-olds because you want to basically send a message to a village in some part of Palestine, if you are against child organ trafficking, if you are against all the ways in which Jews use the Palestinians to conduct all manner of sadism through the use of testing of weaponry. Like just today, Jews decided, oh, wouldn't it be great? You know, here's a great punishment. We're going to weld this family's door. They actually welded a family inside. They basically just locked these people up to where they can't get out of their own house. But if you oppose any of this, you're quote unquote a terrorist, to quote a Benjamin Netanyahu. And it gets worse. He says, but Israel and its quote-unquote friends in the audience must push for even harsher laws in the U.S., which means that now Israel's saying we must go after the American people even more. Now, if you don't think you have a problem, guess again. And welcome back. It's the Fetch Inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for the politically aware. Today's date, July the 6th, 2019. Happy Independence Day, everybody in America. Of course, the theme of the show today really is that even though it is Independence Day and it's something to be somewhat celebrated, it is also a day that we should begin to reflect on the fact that Americans and all of us, quite frankly, all of us in Western European lands, I'm talking about those within European diaspora countries, whether it's going to be Australia, New Zealand, South Africa's lost for the most part. And of course, America, the United States, Canada, Argentina, quite frankly. Argentina was largely run by Germans also, by the way, back in the day. And Venezuela also had, again, its share of European management and European creation back in the day when it was in its heyday. And essentially what that shows you is that the brownification of countries, for the most part, I'm not talking about the Asians. They have their own unique way of doing things, and they are for the most part have been fairly successful, but they're still not going to achieve what we have achieved here in the West. And we in the West should not be afraid of anything, quite frankly, that we have done. We've done some really marvelous things here in the West, and we should be very proud of those. We should recognize where we have made our ills, come to terms with those. We don't want to be in complete denial of what we have done negatively, but we should always celebrate what we have done well. Jack out in California. Jack, first, how are you? And tell us a little bit about the earthquake.
Oh yeah, good to talk to you, Dennis. The earthquake experienced yesterday evening around 8:19 Pacific Standard Time. I was in Dana Point, California, on the ocean, and was sitting in my vehicle, and it was a 7.1 coming out of Ridgecrest, which is about 30 miles south of Lone Pine, off the US 395 in the eastern Sierra Nevadas. About 120 miles away in distance from where I was. And it had shook my vehicle pretty darn well for a good minute. Some little girls came outside from their condo complex across the street and were shooken up. They said their table had shaked pretty good inside their home. On the 4th, we had a earthquake take place from the same epicenter. Around 11 a.m. on July the 4th, here Pacific Standard Time. Wasn't as strong, but this one yesterday was definitely felt.
And I guess already they've declared a disaster area. Is that throughout the state, or is that in Southern California only?
You know, I went to bed early, and I haven't even checked the news. But given the experience of feeling the shake here where I'm located, which I would say, you know, good 120 miles away from Ridgecrest. You know, I typically make my summer trips up to the eastern Sierra Nevadas to go camping, hiking, and fishing out of Bishop, between Bishop and Lake Tahoe up to 395. Mm-hmm. Probably one of the most beautiful places in the world, let alone one of the most beautiful places in California, is the Sierra Nevada mountain range.
Yes, it is.
But haven't caught any news about the damage taking place, but you know, when you can feel the impact of your vehicle shaking while you're sitting in it, you can only wonder what that impact was 10 miles or 5 miles from the epicenter. So yeah, there must be some sort of damage that's taken place.
Yeah, apparently the Los Angeles Dodgers in San Diego were actually playing and it didn't even phase the stadium there. So you know, it didn't quite make it off into the valleys out towards the western part of L.A.
Yeah, I remember Chatsworth got hit, and it did some good damage, I believe, back in 95.
Yeah, that was back in 92, I think it was, 92, 93, because my son was only like 2 years old. He was, maybe it was 91, 92, I think it was. because he was with me in bed, sleeping with me in the same bed. And I remember this house is going left to right, left to right. And normally, if you know the earthquakes, everybody, you don't worry about left to right so much. Things can sway and give. I know the apartment I was in, it was a three-story apartment with one story being for the cars below, you know, underneath. And then you had two stories with one unit at the front of the apartment. And it swayed pretty good. But the second that you feel it lift up and fall, throw itself down on itself, that's when you get a little scared. And so that was what I remember from the Chatsworth earthquake. Man, it was okay. And then about 12, 15, 20 seconds into it, you could feel the house actually lift up and then fall back down on itself. And that was pretty darn scary.
Yeah, at the time I was still living in Michigan, and I came out to visit California my first time, and I went to Chatsworth, and there were apartment buildings that had still been condemned. There were fences around them. No one was living in them. And you could see the stress cracks around the foundation.
You know, I had a friend that lived out in the Chatsworth area too. I forget the exact town. I think it might have been Chatsworth. But it was funny because, like, the next day, you know, afterwards, there were no fences. You could see all the way down the freaking, down the, you know, because these are suburbs out there, as you know, from being there. And literally there was not a fence standing, man. You could just look out all the way down the streets and there was just no fences for like a mile, 2 miles down. It's kind of funny.
You know? I met a guy that grew up in Michigan. His family had a music store, Allegio. They were Italians. And he moved back to Michigan. He said that it was impossible getting around the area for a good amount of time after that earthquake took place. It created so much damage to the surface roads and even to the interstate highway in the area that it literally made life really tough. Yeah. So they just left and went back to Michigan.
Yeah, there's this big bridge over what they call Simi Valley, and it's kind of like a big junction, I believe, off the 210 freeway going to the 405 or the 5 or something like that. And it failed. It literally failed, and some cop was just cruising on his motorbike, you know, and not really realizing that the bridge had failed. He just literally just drove right off and plunged about 200 feet to his death.
Meanwhile, Caltrans is building a high-speed rail train, you know, and a majority of it is above ground, and it's on it's elevated, right? And that's sort of the big joke today, is they're building this elevated high-speed monorail. You know, it's going to travel from north to Southern California, and a large portion of it is elevated on, you know, like a lot of the highway on-ramps and off-ramps are. So it's interesting, but, you know, it's definitely an interesting experience to feel an earthquake. I think California is definitely appropriately named the Golden State. It's probably one of the most beautiful states I've ever been to, given that it has so many different ecosystems, from a desert to the mountains to the ocean, and so many other micro-mid ecosystems.
We had a guy, I think his name is Bill Dunphy or something like that. I forget now. But he would start his newscast every day from the desert to the sea, I forget. But he mentioned, just like you said, you sounded like Roger Dunphy or whatever his name was, man. From the desert to the sea in all of Southern California. Good evening.
Well, that's why everyone's here, right, Dennis? I mean, it's the best weather. I met Europeans that have lived in California for some time, and they say, I've traveled over all around the globe, and this is the best weather around the world here in SoCal.
It really is. It really is. Amman, Jordan is so much like LA. You know, if I were to go outside right now with the breeze, it's absolutely fantastic. You know, we don't have air conditioning in this country per se, but, you know, you go outside, who cares? Go up to your roof, relax. It's beautiful. What do you need? You don't need air conditioning if you're outside.
Hey, I think the geoengineering, though, and the chemtrails is really messing up California. This summer has been a very odd weather patterns for summer. Typically, it's clear blue skies. It's always sunny and hot, especially in the month of July, August, September, October. But we've been getting a tremendous amount of marine layer and cloud cover and overcast coming in on days such as yesterday. July the 4th was beautiful, sunny and clear. And then yesterday morning it was clear, and then this cloud front just came in and socked us in with the marine layer. But it's weird. You know, I've been here 20 years, and I recall in the first 5 or 10 years, The weather was consistently always blue skies, clear, hot, and sunny. And since they've been blowing the Clem trails in the 90s, it's changing. And it seems to be really taking its toll. Just this year, you're starting to notice weather patterns that are quite odd. But I was listening to you earlier.
Yeah, go ahead. I was just going to say, yeah, let's keep it moving now. You called. What would you like to discuss?
Yeah. You know, I remember when I was a little boy participating in July 4th parades back in the suburbs of Detroit. My dad was a sheriff. And previous to that, he was an Air Force pilot and a tank mechanic in the Army. And I was proud, you know, given my family is of Armenian heritage, I was proud to be an American. My dad's eldest brother was a World War II veteran in the Merchant Marines, and we had a family member that served in World War I. And when you look at America today, it really is sad when you look at people demographically, and there's a loss of that pride in our country's founders and in the history. I sort of got a reminiscence of it on July the 4th. I went to a party at a boat marina around the docks, and I met a guy from Manchester, England, and a fellow from Croatia. And it was really good. They had great conversations. They knew exactly who the culprit was and what was going on in their native countries. And it was very relieving, and it was a good July 4th. To be around some intellectuals that knew what was taking place in present day. You know, the law enforcement in America has changed a lot. And I was going to chime in is that, you know, given my father was a sheriff in Detroit and experienced the riots in the 60s on the streets of Detroit, I know that a lot of cops today are going to Israel. Sheriffs, cops, they're getting trained in the. And I know that the ADL and the IDF is behind financing, putting these cops on planes and flying them to Israel to get trained in martial arts and how to deal with protesters and so forth. So it's basically a militarization of our so-called civil servants who are here to protect us.
Yeah, just real quick, I want to throw in, and as that story we just were covering before the break, with the Jewish state literally saying we are behind these laws that are calling Americans terrorists, basically, by supporting BDS. If you support BDS, you're a terrorist, according to the Israeli government. And consequently, we cannot assume that they're going over to Israel with the best intentions of Americans in mind. They are going there with the ill intentions of Americans in mind. And it's time to cut Israel off, of course, but that's the message that needs to get out.
Well, you know, I'm a Christian, and I truly believe in the New Testament's prophecy. These are the children of the devil. It said in the book of Revelation, they are the synagogue of Satan. In the book of John, it says they are the children of the devil. And this is who we're dealing with. They're evil son of a bitches. And it's time that Americans really come to the point where they're going to have to stand up. And I heard Frank call in and say, you know, that they quell people because they're afraid to lose their jobs. You know, I'm in tech sales, and I've been out of work for a good year now. And I really don't know what the explanation is, but I don't care. I really don't care anymore. I'm willing to sacrifice my own job security, my own comfort, to stand up against these SOBs. And I'd like to say a whole lot more vulgar than SOBs, I'm tired of these guys, and I want to wage war, literally. They're waging war on us. The war is here in our backyard, in our home front. They're ruining this nation. They're waging war on the Constitution. They're waging war on the free of speech. They're staging all these false flag gun massacres, whether they're PSYOP or Manchurian candidate, you know, Monarch Butterfly agents that are coming in there and causing up all this ruckus and then provoking Americans to give up their guns. Total joke. And people need to stand up and realize, where is this going to go? It's going to get really nasty. It's going to be the next Bolshevik Revolution, the next Holodomor in Ukraine.
It's
these people will not stop.
That's actually correct. And when you have people calling for depopulation of America by 60-70%, well, how are they going to achieve that? So obviously they do not have the best intentions of the American people in mind.
You know, I was thinking, you know, about when we said they throw out the slur, you're an anti-Semite. I am of Semitic blood. So I've always come back and say, well, I am Semitic. So let me ask you, you have fair skin and blue eyes. Are you Semitic? You don't look Semitic because most of the people from the Middle East have the olive oil looking skin. They're dark in complexion and your features don't look like that. So I'm curious to know, you know, where's your Semitic bloodline come from? You know, and you have to challenge these people because, as you noted in last Saturday's show, they just throw out these terms and they try to shut you down, but there's no discussion that takes place. Their psycholinguistics is designed to just basically shut you down and you got to walk away or get prosecuted and thrown in jail. And it's time that Americans start to stand up and really challenge the narrative and what these people are trying to do, because the end game is that they just want to wage war on us and have their way, and that's got to stop.
Without any defense, they want basically a lay down. They want no defense. They're cowards in many respects.
Huge cowards. You know, the motto of the secret intelligence service in Israel, the Mossad, is by means of deception. You know, I find that most Jews are cowardly people. You know, that when it comes to their so-called alpha males, if they have alpha males, most of them are afraid to fight. They're afraid to stand up. But they do operate, I have found, in many cases by deception and infiltration. And I've seen it, you know, in the local city councils and in local towns and governments here. They use money. They use power. They get their Shabbat goy to do their bidding. I've got one in my family that's a retired Navy captain. He's a Naval Academy graduate, Harvard MBA, and he's exactly that. He's a Shabbat goy. And when I was 17 years old, I said I want to work in Los Angeles in the film industry. Point blank said, huh, you got to be Jewish or gay. Okay? So I understood that. And when I got out to Los Angeles, I really didn't want to live there. I saw the traffic, the smog, and I was like, the heck with this. I'm going to go live in South Orange County in a little idyllic beach town. But I came to realize I was colorblind, as they say on, you know, the Stormfront David Duke show and the White Nationalist. I was colorblind, you know, through a lifetime of growing up with Jewish controlled media. I didn't see the demographic destruction taking place before me, but my eyes started to open and I started to realize, holy crap, it in fact is manifesting. It is unfolding right before me. And I'm sad because, you know, here we are 2019 and here in Southern California, they want to rename John Wayne's Airport. You know, I talked to people about the golden age of Orange County back in the 50s, 40s, and what this place used to look like. And now it's a total different stark contrast of the past. And I don't think it's going to get any better until people really want to stand up and do something about it. But I really appreciate what you're doing, Dennis, because I think you're one of the very few voices that are really out there speaking your mind, calling for action, and taking a very strong stand against these people. And there's not many people doing it. I think there's a lot of cucks out there. I'm not going to name think is a cuck because there's many of them out there, and I think they're fronting for the Jews.
Well,
when I listen to you, I intuitively know that you're not. I know that you're going for their throats, and I want to go for their throats too. You know, you said euphemistically, we got to shake these people, but literally, I'd like to shake them. I'd like to grab them, but you know, and let them know you're not getting away with this.
Something that. All right, thanks so much, Jack. Let's move along. Thanks, that's a great call. Thanks so much for the call, and call in and again.
Take care.
All right. And going back to North Carolina, Frank, you are back. Hi, welcome back to Inside the iLife.
Yeah, Dennis, Jack, call me sometime. You know, I wanted to I mean, I think he gets the gist of my call, but I just wanted to reemphasize the focus of my call. We all know the tactics that they use, that they, you know, use the word quell, dissent, and whatnot. But I really want to make the point that these Jews, and I don't have any fight with any particular individual who's racially Jewish or whatever, who's turned against the evil, you know, Jewish body, but the Jews work as a body they terrorize. That's what they do. They are terrorists. The Jewish people are terrorists. They terrorize. And that's really, I just wanted to reemphasize that. And by the way, I never been to Los Angeles or anything. I never went to California. I walk on foot into California several times because I did mountain warfare training twice. two different years in the Sierra Nevada mountain range. They have a Marine Corps has a mountain warfare training school called Bridgeport up there. And I'll tell you what, that is, I've been pretty much all over the world, and that is the most beautiful place for me. I've always said that is my favorite place in the world. I've never been to Lake Tahoe, but we went through there.
Mm-hmm. I was just
saw the signs for it. We went through by there, and I mean, I tell you, that place is extraordinarily beautiful. One last thing too, David Duke had Mark Dankoff on, and I listened to it. I don't listen to it all the time anymore because I basically heard it all. But you know, he really went a long way, and you know, maintaining support for Trump. And don't get me wrong, there are some side benefits of Trump's presidency. I mean, it's really, they've taken off the mask. Our enemies have taken off the mask, right?
Correct.
So we do get that benefit. They've shown themselves. But anyway, David Duke came out yesterday. Like I said, I don't listen to him a lot anymore, but he said that Trump is a traitor. I mean, he made it very clear. He said it, he called Trump a traitor and a total sellout. And Mark Dankoff, Pastor Mark Dankoff, who I have a lot of respect for, he agreed. So Trump is no longer maintaining any support for the man or any hope that Trump is going to do anything for us. So, and you know, there's a segment of the population out there on our side that listens to Duke. So I imagine he's going to be losing a lot more support when they see leaders like that going away from him. I also forced myself to listen to 30 minutes of Alex Jones' broadcast from yesterday.
Okay.
And I'm telling you what, Alex Jones basically is treating Donald Trump as the second coming of Jesus Christ. He's got his head right up his rear end. I mean, Donald Trump can do no wrong. I mean, it is amazing. It's disgusting. It makes me sick. But Alex Jones is making millions and millions and millions of dollars, you know, putting this deflection. And like what Jack was just saying, a lot of people, Alex Jones and even Ted Nostrum Brower, even though they named the Jews and all that, and they're very critical, a lot of times they come right back and say, no, most Jews don't know anything about this.
Yeah, that's so
Jews
polite.
It's not the Jews. It's this group and that group. And that's a lie. And I would love to challenge them to come on and try that argument, try that BS deflection with Dennis. I would love it, man.
All these
clowns out there that are so tough, I would love to see them come on and try and take on Dennis.
Well, that would be great. Frank, we're going into a break. Thanks again for the follow-up call. Unknown, hang on the line. And we're going to be going into a break. It's the Fetch, everybody. Inside the Eye Live. Back with more right after this. All right, everybody, welcome back. Final hour Inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for the politically aware. It's now Saturday still, July the 6th, and we've had someone hanging on. Unknown, welcome to Inside the Eye Live.
It's the Fetch!
Who's this?
Hey, buddy, how you doing?
I'm good. Who's this?
It's Miles from Maine.
Oh, Miles. Dang, you're back already. Welcome back, dude.
Oh, hell, I'll be missing you if I don't come back soon.
It's only been a week or so, man. It's like, dang, that's pretty cool. Welcome back.
Thanks, buddy. And, you know, you fill the lines up like nobody else, I'll tell you.
I'll tell you, it's gotten better. I think it's from Frank, though. Frank complained once. He says, I don't know why more people aren't calling. Maybe people kind of took that to heart, so maybe I should give Frank credit for that one. But, no, it's great to hear, man.
Oh, Frank. Frank's an all-time favorite. I like this guy, Jack. I'd like to talk to him myself, the way, you know, Frank was saying. Jack's got some good info, interesting points, and I, quite frankly, I have some several things in common with him. But was he saying he's Armenian?
Yeah, I was like, dude, when he told me that, it's like, dude, get up to Glendale. What are you doing down at Dana Point where it's still heaven? Go to Glendale.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, there you go.
My last town was Glendale. When I left California, I was living in Glendale near the mall, Glendale Galleria. That was my last place in L.A.
Well, Jack, he is a true Caucasian.
Caucasus. Yeah, he's from the Caucasus, but, isn't he?
That's where the people are from, right there, the Caucasus Mountains. But, Frank's always a favorite. There's so many good ones here. You know, one of my personal favorites, I don't hear him too much anymore, is Hijacker. He really has a lot to add. But I was wondering, how did everything work out with your tooth, Fetch?
You know what? I found some really great painkiller, and you know that stuff is fantastic. And so I haven't had any problems for like 2 weeks. Be honest with you, I figure when I get to the Philippines where it's cheap, I'll have them do some work there, not here.
Yeah, and you know I agree with Frank on this point, Fetch, and Duke and those guys. They're good, excellent info and researchers and everything. But nobody hits it off and dead center like you. I mean, right between the eyes, kabam! I mean, just right there. Everybody can understand. There can be none of this. And I know what he means when he says Ted Brower and these guys. And I like those guys. You know, they got some valuable points, but then they all come back. Just like Frank said, they all come back around and trot the circle.
Yeah, and actually, I agree with you guys. You know, I listen to some of them from time to time just to hear what's kind of going on. And sometimes I, 15, 20 minutes into the broadcast, I'm like, guys, you just guys aren't hitting it, man. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what I love about you. That's why I think I agree with Frank. I think you are the most valuable show out there because it's just straight on. Here it is, kabam. I mean, and you don't have to connect the dots because they're all laid out from A to Z. I would love you to debate any of these clowns. I would just love to see it because they can't up with you. I don't think they would even respond. If they heard a sampling of one of your shows, I don't think you're going to touch them anyway because they're not going to want to have you in their space. Quite frankly.
Yeah, unfortunately, people are protective of their...
There won't be room for both of you.
Yeah, it would be nice. I'll be honest. I would like it even myself. You know, some days I just feel kind of feisty and just want to go kind of like lay it out there. And being Independence Day, what do you think, man? The theme I thought was pretty good. It's not really Independence Day. It's a recognition of Occupation Day.
Yeah, beautiful. I like what Jack was saying. You know, connecting with some of the international people, it's always good to have their viewpoint. And they know who's who, probably a lot better than we do because their media is perhaps not as skewed. But I loved it today when you hit the Oy Vey moment. I mean, I almost wish you could do it again in case anyone turned in late or something, because that was just so beautiful. But not only that, I think if there is one, it needs to be in the Oy Vey Hall of Fame.
You know, I was thinking we should probably break out all the Oy Vey moments over the years and just cut those out and just put those out. This is, you know, just because that's a unique segment where I usually kind of go ranting pretty good.
That'd be beautiful. Or like maybe at on New Year's Eve, the end of the year, Oy Vey, the Oy Vey replay.
And that might work. It sure make my job easy, dude. I wouldn't have to talk. I could just go record the darn thing and go.
Well, and I think that's the thing about you. You know, you're the kind of guy that doesn't have to be live. I mean, you take a tape from, say, back to Oracle to 2019 today. And it's the same truth, sincerity, honesty, you know, precision, no mistakes that you always deliver. It's just right there.
You know, in that regard,
in a presentation.
You know, Miles, I was thinking I actually found a way to get them. I didn't have them, but I found a way to recapture them. So I recorded everything. I got everything from the Oracle days. And I thought of doing just what you said, you know, just go find some segments from 2011, 2012 during the Oracle days and play it just so people can hear what was going on 7, 8 years ago now. Which I thought would be rather interesting, because the message, it's morphed. It's become much more polished. I think we can agree. But it's basically the same. I mean, we haven't changed all that much over the years. The message has been straight to where it is.
No. Yeah, the delivery's always been there. And now I think, you've got it to where you're packing in even more in a less amount of time. And you're hitting a wide assortment of should I say sensitive topics, but you're getting them all in and you're making them reach through to people where they can reach out there and grab something, hold on to it, and look into it and find out, hey, you know, Fetch was right again.
You know, the secret to that, Miles, is basically you pull up 5, 7, 10, 12 talking points and you don't, and then you rant. And I think that's what people come to listen to, is more of the ranting than just talking. They want the rants.
And Fetch getting to that, because I agree with that. And I think that's some reason, you know, sometimes you get going and it's too good. I'm not going to stop and interrupt it, you know, and I don't want to pick the phone up and put it down and get off the air and on the air. And sometimes you don't. There's points where I don't want to miss the point, because if I want to relay that information, I want to know that I have every word and I have it in order. I have it in logical, tactical order like you, where I can deliver it with fact. And that's what makes you so effective. You've got the fact and you've got the delivery. And I'll tell you, I agree with Frank. I don't think there's anybody out here. You know, you hear all these guys, Andrew England and, Richard Spencer or whatever, and you hear these guys, you know, they're flash names in the media, but I haven't heard any of them could just jack it right out of the park like you do. Show in and show out, it's just out of here. And I appreciate that so much, Fed.
Well, I appreciate that.
Great job,
man. I appreciate that type of kind words, man, because, you know, it's always good to see. You know what they've been doing to me, man? You know, we used to have like over 10,000 downloads per show. I don't know if you guys knew that. The records would show 10,000. Then all of a sudden, overnight, it fell to like 1,200. And then we built it up to like 3,200. And then it fell down to 1,200 again. Then we built it up to 2,400. And then it fell down to, get this, 350. And I'm like, there's no way I'm going to get 350. Come on, man. That's not possible.
That's got to be Google playing their games or their...
We should come up. Because I have a bad eye, I can't see well, and there are so efficient. And anyways, I saw 50, right? And I thought maybe a song came to my mind, 50 ways to take out the garbage, and it's ways to clean your country of the Jewish people. What do you think? Remember the song 50 ways to leave your lover?
Yeah.
So we'll call it 50 ways to take out 50 ways to take out the garbage.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. You think you'll have time with everything you got going?
No. But I like to throw things out, and then maybe someone runs with it, and then they can just have it and take credit for it. It's okay for me. You know, I'm just an idea guy anyways.
Well, that might be something for Andrew Kirk and Hitchcock or one of these guys.
Yes.
I don't see how you can pack in, unless you throw in another hour, Fetch, or another day. I could listen to you 24/7 myself. I mean,
if we were making money at this type of thing, I could do more time. But you know what I mean? You have to pay the bills. You got to take care of everything. It's really hard to do a quality show, and nobody's faulting anybody here, but the money's just not there. You know, we make $1,000, $1,200, $1,500 a year on it, which isn't bad. Nobody's complaining, but it's certainly not going to pay the bills. You know, unfortunately we live a little bit higher lifestyle than that. So, It is what it is.
Well, we're the small vocal, but still engaged group, and we just don't, you know, I mean, we're not going to get a lot of corporate sponsorship in here and anything like that. So we just rely on us. But hey, if it's our own little party, then I'm enjoying it.
Yes, and everybody is. I'll be honest. We're always doing well on Saturday. Saturday's a good show. I think you know that. And I know you know that, but Saturday's a good show, man. I mean, we know that. It's a healthy show. A lot of people come and enjoy it. And the reason why they do, I guess, because we, like you say, we pack it with some pretty good stuff, so ups and downs, but it's pretty good for the most part. And I think that's what people like. And with that, maybe
I like the Thursday show, but Thursday, I like the weekday shows too, but you know, I get messed around. I get work. I get this, that's run correct. To the bank, pay the bills.
Correct.
By the time I get there and I'm in the last 15 minutes of the show. Or something.
You know, that's the way it goes, so, man.
Well, anyway, Fetch, you go right ahead.
Yeah, just thanks for calling. Thanks for the kind words. It's an Independence Day type of thing, kind of a relaxed day. So it's great to just hear people today.
Keep up the great work, Fetch. You are making a difference. I mean, you are. You're giving, handing off info, and other people like Jax, the Franks, the people like that in this world, hijack, they're running off and they're telling Lord knows how many. But anyway, God bless you, Fetch. Great to hear you again. Keep up the fantastic job. And we'll be looking for you soon.
All right. Miles in Maine, everybody. One of my favorite states, quite frankly, before Somalia took it over. And again, if you'd like to call in, 1-323-275-1314. That's 1-323-275-1314. Chat room is technically still humming along. And but join us there. It's right on the cusp, guys. It says here, the Fetch, you might go against the YouTube in brackets terms of service. I hope one day you will be free to make lots of dollars on those platforms. I somehow doubt it. YouTube has taken all of my videos down. Quite frankly, all of my videos have been removed from YouTube. In fact, there's over 8 million. Check this number out, guys. 8 million videos now have been taken down from YouTube since they began their purge. That is a huge number. They are now even starting to take down historical videos from the 1930s, 1940s, which would be anything having to do with the National Socialist German movement. So anything that would have historical speeches of Adolf Hitler or some other thing about the Germans back in the 1930s, 1940s, even before, for all we know, they are all being swept aside. So we are looking at a modern book burning censorship process that we have not seen really in the annals of human history. You know, they talk a lot about how the Germans burned all these books. Guys, they weren't just burning books. They were burning a lot of the degenerate Jewish material that was out there in that day. And back then, Jews had created such a degenerate society for the German people during their reign as the Weimar Republic. And the Germans, being a largely traditional society, rebelled against that and basically kicked Jews out for the most part, at least the radical ones. And it's interesting, you know, the number two man, the number one man, quite frankly, actually number two man for the SS. You know, oops, I didn't shut that down. I should have done that. I can do that now while I try to get this up. But the number two man of the SS was actually a Jewish guy. And when they caught him at the end of the war, he had to pay like a 30% of his assets in a fine. And he spent maybe a 1 or 2 years in a jail, but then they let him go. And he was the number two guy inside the SS, and he was Jewish. And people don't even know that story. 608 area code. Hi, welcome to Inside the Eye Live.
Hi, Dennis. It's Mer.
Mer, welcome back. Equally, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you. I wanted to make clear that George's interview, she had sent me an email, and so I figured she probably had sent it to you, but I sent it to a bunch of people and probably missed a bunch of others, but posted it in chat rooms. It's at BitChute, people. So, and it's called Fight White Genocide Podcast Number 15, an interview with Georgia Peach. And I believe they're Australians, I think.
It sounded Australian-ish. I agree mm-hmm. with that. I don't know where they're located, but it was a good interview. I actually did hear the show, the entirety of it all. And I thought Georgia did a great job on it. And the host also did a good job. I don't know how long they've actually been producing content. This was the 15th show in this series, but I felt that they did a pretty good job. They were within the Bob Whitaker swarm type of crowd. You can hear that in the way they presented the material, yeah. and there's certainly nothing wrong with that. And then what I did is I forwarded to Georgia after the show, I forwarded one of Bob Whitaker's last ever interviews, which was actually right here on Inside the Eye Live. And let her hear that. And I probably should repost that on BitChute elsewhere. You can find it because you know our website.
I don't know if I can do it. Yeah, I don't. You have a thing on BitChute. I don't.
Yes,
so, yeah, you need to do that, I guess.
But if you want to hear it, guys. Real quick. If you want to hear the almost the last Bob Whitaker interview, and it appeared right here on Inside the Eye Live. I know his office, his staff, his assistant reached out to me. Asked if he could actually please come back. And, of course we were happy to have him back. He's kind of a legend. So he came back and, I think it was May 16th, something like that, 2016. But if you go to the past guest page on Inside the Eye Live, you can actually just, you know, hit control F, you know, control find and look and just mm-hmm. type in Bob. And then there's Bob from DC who's in the chat room, I believe today. And then Bob Whitaker mm-hmm. and you'll see the two interviews with Bob Whitaker. Of 2016, and certainly it's worth a listen. Go ahead.
Yeah, under your Inside the Eye Live, too, is where his lawn sign, there's a picture of his lawn sign. Diversity means tracking down the last white person. Killing the last. I'll find that and post it, too. But that was his
that's
meme.
Correct.
And
that was correct.
Very effective.
Yeah, in fact, we discussed that. I was just saying we discussed that with Bob in that interview. You know, he should be very, very proud of what he accomplished because his memes had actually taken on a life of their own and had become so prevalent. And this is back in 2016.
Yeah, this is the one thing the Jews News doesn't want to hear about, anything about white genocide, because they just want to do it. And we are the highest concentration of Europeans or whatever you want to call us in this country. And we made it. This country. And a guest on Statmiller last night, Ed Fife in Iowa, and the posterity meant white people. And it was interesting because one of the callers sounded like a black woman and wanted to know 1802 and 1806, the articles, and I got to go back and find the titles. But anyway, you know, that proved that. And she said, Malcolm X said the same thing. You know, they weren't supposed to let black people into this country. So, you know, and that's still in the books. So, you know, they're trying to override everything like that. But Georgia, and she couldn't really say, but flowers were sent to her because they doxed her, right? And guess who was supposedly sent from a Mary B, but they didn't have any card in the flowers. Mm-hmm. So they put them, you know, in a vase in the kitchen or whatever. But almost immediately, the husband got terribly ill, and then she did. And they were both sick for a month. I mean, deadly ill. And it's interesting because I'm starting to research a little more in depth about the Black Plague. And, you know, a lot of Jews were caught poisoning, going to the headwaters of streams and things. And the only place, the sanctuary that they had in Poland, was the only place that was hardly affected. And interesting, they're trying to get reparations and land from Poland now. You know, they've got the cover of the reparations for slaves and queers, but they're trying to get land. And Poland, a few years ago, wouldn't go for this same-sex marriage. They're not having any of it. And to stay on that theme, you know, whatever you think about Trump, Mark Glenn, The Ugly Truth, he used to have some really good things where he would post articles from Jewish newspapers, and it was good because then I didn't have to go click on their sites, right? And he'd highlight and read what was really important. And before Trump went to Warsaw for that speech 2 years ago, he sent a listening ship on the 50th anniversary of the Liberty, a similar listening ship to Israel. And then he sent the world's largest warship, the GHW Bush warship, and parked it right off the coast. And you notice there were no shenanigans. There were no false flags went down. Of course, Israel tried to just say, oh, yes, we're, you know, we're together in security and everything. No. He put them on notice. And, I mean, it could have blown away Israel without hardly doing anything with that ship sitting there, you know, so, and they knew it. So but these are the type of things you don't hear about. You only hear about the negative stuff. But like I said, to get back to this researching, and that's one thing that's good to do during Mercury retrograde. Don't sign contracts, but do research and review and almost anything with re in front of it. But a lot of times we don't agree with, all the time, actually, we don't agree with our own past selves and sometimes our future selves when we learn to accept something we couldn't before. So it's not so important to say, oh, I agree with this and I agree with that. No, we're each separate, unique individuals. Keep researching and sharing and loving each other. That's most important because this is something the Jews don't have. They don't have compassion, you know. Mm-hmm.
Nor empathy.
Right, right. And I mean, they are the Cosa Nostra. They are the mafia. There never was an Italian mafia like that, like them. They, you know, they cover for them. In fact, a lesser Jew, I guess you could say, and I won't say names, although I know who it is, you know, was sponsored for different shows, but was threatened in his family with death threats if he didn't quit sponsoring certain shows that were considered anti-Semitic. So this is what they do. They pull their funding, but then you see where they do show up. So you know then that that show, you can expect it to be compliant in some way. And you can see that. I there again won't mention names, but you can see they'll flip one way or the other, and they'll emphasize either hate Trump or like Trump or, you know, whatever they're required to do to play the game. Now, this individual was on as a guest, and I had sent, it was interesting because there was a misspeak on it. I was listening to a podcast up there.
We're actually going into a break. You're going to have to either hold over through the break or why don't you just hold through the break? We're going into a break, everybody. It's the Fetch. Murr's on hold from Wisconsin, I believe it is. Back with more right after this. All right, everybody, welcome back. Final half hour of the show. You know, time flies by with all the great callers we have here, and one of those is on hold now. Murr, hi, welcome back. And you'll have to, like, slap my hand or something, or maybe, like, hit my nose with the mic. But I forgot what you were talking about when we went into the break.
Yeah, I had two kind of themes going on there, and the last one I was talking about was actually how Talmud Media affected a broadcast, you know, on the internet. I was listening to it on a podcast, and they assumed that an Amish father shot the girls in that school in Pennsylvania, right? And they were just trying to fill time, but they were basing it on what they see on the TV, you know, how they demonize the Amish. Now, Amish don't watch TV. I don't know what that's all about, right? Mm-hmm. But what had actually happened, it wasn't Amish at all. It was another man, but what did happen, which I found just jumped out at me, was the forgiveness. The Amish, especially the ladies, they got all their buggies together and everything and went and helped the family of the man that did the shooting. They forgave immediately, even though all these little girls were shot and killed. And this forgiveness spread to China and Syria. And this letter was from a guy in China, and he was saying how the clans would, you know, we'll go after your whole family, you know, type of thing. But this forgiveness, immediate forgiveness, and this is what we have to come to eventually, is giving without thought of receiving. You know, that's what Jews really fear. That's the ultimate in compassion. When you, yes, we need material things to live, but we are in a spiritual world. And when we accept that and learn that we don't have to worry about it so much. They want us to be fearful and worry. And we get away from their media, we don't have to do that, you know. But the other thing was the 359 times they've been expelled. There's so much research to do there because these are parasites and they have to come back and find another host. So just look all through history where something has turned up kind of weird. And what I was saying about the poisoning, someone had sent me a thing, the Red Dagger, about London, right? 1381, Walt Tyler. And I was wondering, well, what's going on? And it was like over 100,000, you know, peasants rebelling because they were being worked to death. But why were they being worked to death? Because 2/3 of the population had been killed by the Black Death that the Jews caused. So see, now this Deagle, D-E-A-G-E-L,
yeah,
that's what they're saying. In 6 years, there'll be 1/3 of the population on this continent that's here now.
Yeah, he's been saying that for some time. I'm not sure they can achieve something like that, but certainly that's
if you look at 5G, they can use that as a weapon. You know, it's like a spherical thing. And you don't even have to have a phone yourself. If you're just in town where all this is broadcasting.
Of course. Yeah, you just need to be in the microwave. That's correct.
It columnates, yeah, and pulses. And that's the danger. I mean, any living thing in the way. Trees, animals, insects.
They've installed 5G here in Jordan inside the houses. For sure. I have a 5G router here. I don't connect to it, but sometimes when I do, the speeds are pretty amazing. But they make it very, very low in power. They've really cut the power down to where everybody complains because it's basically got no power. You can, if you're 15 feet away.
Is this wireless or 5G?
Wireless. It's Wi-Fi. 5G Wi-Fi.
Yeah, see.
So if you're like 15 feet away, your phone can't even register. It doesn't even pick it up. So basically you got to be almost within a 10-foot range. And when I called to complain, I said, hey, how come? They said, well, because of the safety issues, we don't want it to be too strong. We want to give you the service, but we recommend, just within the immediate range.
See, that's exactly the plan, Dennis. They're going to put all these up because people are asking for it.
Yeah, again, and it has
to do with... They're asking to be shot with this.
Well, when you're talking about the towers and stuff like that, it's going to be a little bit different than from a Wi-Fi router, to be honest with you.
Oh, sure. It's going to be all over the place, too, and they're going to disguise them. They're going to be like on every block.
Yeah, I know. I don't know which one, but there's a city in Nevada that has now declared 5G will not be allowed in its town. So that, And I don't know why you need 5G, quite frankly, at the tower. You don't need it. I have fiber coming in. You don't need it. You know what I mean? What it does for me is I get, instead of 5 megabit to 6 megabit download, I get 7, 8 to 9 megabit download. Who cares? At the end of the day, who cares?
I can wait. They're talking about generation. They're not talking about, gigahertz or.
No, but this is, I'm just talking about the effect of 5G at a Wi-Fi router stage. The difference is the speed. The 5G is a faster speed. So I'm going to get 2 to 4 megabits per second faster using the 5G part of the router than I will the 2G or the 2.4 gig.
Well, on this Deagle thing even, they had kept dropping it down till it was like 57 million or something. But then after 2017, they upped it back up to 100 million. So instead of 4/6 of the population, now it's 2/3. but they won't be successful.
No, not at something like that.
This is a plan.
Well, they are. I mean, at the end of the day, let's be honest, every time somebody dies from a migrant issue, that's part of the genocide against people. You're creating the situations that allow people to die when they shouldn't, and that's genocide.
Well, the medical system, there at RBN.
That's the worst.
She was taking rat poison, and I told her, and she knew, but it was a doctor's orders, and she died of pancreatic cancer a few weeks ago here.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
You can't take rat cancer and live. I mean, rat poison.
Well, I think if you listen to the interview with Georgie yesterday, the other day, the podcast that came out, it was rather interesting. You know what I mean? Because she talked about the opioid crisis and how people in Ohio and the, have been suffering so much under the opioids. This is real genocide. That is real genocide. They are targeting whole towns.
Jews are behind that. They're growing it in Afghanistan and having our soldiers grow it so they can bring it back. And there again, you have the Talmud media. They're advertising, see your doctor, see your... No, crush your television.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, of course, every sports show, they're going to honor some veteran. And even the cameramen are like getting sick of it.
Kaepernick is Jewish. Look at him.
he kind of does have a Jewish nose, doesn't he?
Donnie Doe. Yeah. Well, I'll let you go. Thank
All right.
you.
Thanks so much, Murr. That's Murr, everybody. InsideTheEyeLive.com, the chat room. Again, it's still humming along. And, of course, you can call us at 1-323-275-1314. That's 1-323-275-1314. If you haven't figured it out, that's pi. 1.314314. Some of you got that. I know some of you got that, but I thought I'd just kind of leak that out there. We covered the British piracy in Spanish waters. This is a deal. This is something you guys might want to watch if you like to follow geopolitics, because really you have a case where you have British Marines seizing an Iranian oil tanker, essentially on the high seas. The Iranian foreign minister condemned the boarding and seizure of the tanker, the Grace One, into the Gibraltar Straits by British Royal Marine commandos and called it a form of piracy. I would agree with that. Describing the British move as destructive, the foreign ministry quickly summoned the British ambassador to Iran, Mr. Rob McCare, for a dressing down on the issue. Again, this is not a small joke, guys. It's a 300,000-ton super tanker. And, of course, the manner in which the tanker seizure has sparked concern across the international community, because the reality is, guys, is we have mafias acting as governments, or governments behaving as mafias, but really they're mafias working under the guise of governments. You know, when you look at occupied governments, we're talking a little bit about occupied governments today, occupied nations, the idea of Independence Day in America, and the idea that really we're not so independent when you can have issues like the minister of, what you call this guy? Let me just get it. Oops, kind of disappeared on me there. The minister for the Netanyahu regime in Tel Aviv, his name again is Mr. Gilad Erdan, Minister for Strategic Affairs and Information under the Netanyahu regime. You know, you go on, and when you look at the idea of boycotting things, you know what I mean? A boycott is really oftentimes, if it's done on a private level, even across a cultural, let's say a social level, these are very private issues, though. It's something that you have a conscience about, something that you don't want to support because you just don't support it. It's not in your belief structure. And why Jews really believe they can impose themselves upon you is itself a form of arrogance. I call it often chutzpah, overreach. And boycotts, they do cause hardships on innocent people. But if you are involved in economic destruction of the Palestinian people by taking their land, welding their doors shut, kidnapping their children. Do you really want to support that? And are they really innocent? It's a very difficult way to go there. I don't think it's innocent in this way, because you're usually targeting those who are benefiting by it the most, which are the actual people involved in the crimes itself, whereby a nationwide boycott, you're just affecting tons of innocent people in the hopes that they're going to somehow overthrow their government. It's really kind of stupid logic. Now, it's not just the fact that the Jewish people are declaring the American people terrorists, that the Jewish people are declaring Americans enemies of the Jewish people. They're making the claim, guys, and that's something that's very critical here. Jewish people are saying that Americans are enemies of the Jewish people. When they back this legislation, anti-BDS legislation, and they pass it in 27 states, they are basically coming straight out and saying Americans are the enemy of Jews. That's kind of how you should be reading that. But the occupation goes so much deeper than that. We've heard stories today about the police going to Israel. We know about DeSantis, the governor of Florida, going over to Israel, conducting actual Florida government business in Israel. You had Mayor Cuomo, I believe it was. Was it Cuomo? I think it's Cuomo. Going over to Israel. I think it's Cuomo. My brain leaves me some days. I'm getting old. But anyways, going over, and there's all these politicians, guys, go over to Israel. What do they need to go to Israel for? Why? Think about it. Why does an American politician need to go over to Israel? And it's worse. Just in the early part of June, the new chief of the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Forest Service, a Miss Vicky Christensen. She went to Israel. What the heck is she going to Israel for? She's part of the Forest Service, guys. The Forest Service is making mandatory tutelage, I guess you could say, to the state of Israel, essentially going over to kiss Israel's butt. And she says here, it is an honor to be here representing the U.S. Forest Service. Well, what's the U.S. Forest Service doing in Israel? What's it your business? Why don't you stick to your own country and manage something in your own country? You know, that's why I was saying when you have a government shutdown like we had in America in January, who cares? These people work for Israel anyways. Why should the American taxpayer pay their dole? We should just turn over their salaries to the Israeli government, cut off the Israeli government, say, you guys pay the bills. Hi, from the 708 area code, welcome to Inside the Eye Live.
Hey, it's Chadwassan.
How are you?
I'm good here. That's Governor Rick DeSantis you were referring to.
Yes.
Florida. And yes. Sheldon Adelson was a major backer to his play for governor. You know, they had as many people as came out in the 2018 midterms, you know, there was all that kerbuckle and shuffle of votes all around the country where pretty much seats – Congress seats were stolen all across the land, and there was this battleship for the Florida governorship, and you had the hard left Marxist-type guy against Governor Rick DeSantis, who was, I don't know what his position was before, but then you had Rick Scott that was going for the Senate, and there was a whole bunch of deal-making there, and it all, and much of it revolved around the Parkland incident, like... I don't know. I want to get into it all, but yeah, Rick DeSantis. And now once he got in, he signs all these anti-hate laws, and it's mostly around, the Jewish community. You can't say anything even in a conspiratorial sense. And the first thing he did is he went to Israel to do a propagandize, whatever you want to call it. What's the word I'm looking for to signify it with Israel, and then he came back to the United States and put it into official law. Good.
Yeah, again, we've raised this issue when it was happening real time, and how the American people or the citizens of Florida cannot see that their government is occupied by the Israeli government goes beyond me. This is an occupied government. If you're going to go conduct your business in Israel, and you're a state. You're not even the federal. Foreign policy has nothing to do with you. What are you doing in Israel? Seriously, what are you doing in Israel? You have zero business going there. Literally zero business.
Well, as was mentioned, 27 states that passed this anti-BDS. So that's 27 states you know officially are already overtaken.
That's correct. That is correct.
Their head counsel, the politicians, the bureaucrats, they're all, and that state is officially gone. Any state that doesn't red flag laws, you can notify is officially gone.
Exactly. And here we are, Independence Day, everybody, yay, 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 yay. But you've got 27 states that are actually under foreign occupation. And the Independence War was all about throwing this Jewish power structure off of the yokes of the American people. And we are far worse today than we were during the Revolutionary War period in 1776. It's much worse today.
Well, people were more educated back then. They were more wiser. They lived the oppression. They knew what it was. You know, what they were under King George, which was basically under Jewish control. That's what King George was, because they owned the state. They had the Bank of England, basically, so they were making all the laws and all the plays, militarily or whatever, for King George. That's basically what it was. It was Jewish oppression then.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yes, we agree.
Some historians may agree.
And the point here today is I think now we should start turning Independence Day into a day of recognition that we are still occupied and we are no longer independent. It should be a day to celebrate what was the past, but that we need a lot of work to do to make ourselves independent again.
Well, I'm going to float a couple things here. The Adelson, Sheldon Adelson's wife, she's an editor for Sheldon Adelson's newspaper out of Israel. and a story, and I haven't laid eyes on the story, but I heard it from Ted Brewer that she wrote an article that they should put up a new chapter in the Bible dedicated to Donald Trump. Did you hear anything about that?
No, that sounds silly, to be honest with you.
Okay. And then, and I sent you that list of all the Jewish billionaires in Israel. In other words, they listed like 128 of them.
Yes.
Now, this is funny. Since 2001, yeah, September 11, 2001, there's maybe, I think the story goes, maybe around 8 billionaires in Israel. But since 2001, they've spanned to over 128 billionaires in Israel. So if you want to piece those two together, and then that's just a list of billionaires, Jewish billionaires in Israel. So they didn't list all the billionaires outside of Israel, in the United States, Russia, around the world. So they didn't, like the United States, they didn't list any of the dual citizens. They like Sheldon Adelson himself.
Yeah,
and the
reason,
and here's another story I came across.
Okay.
Let me finish this. Another story I came across. The reason the wife of Sheldon Adelson became the number one billionaire is because Sheldon Adelson signed over a bunch of his shares to his companies, to his wife, which put her number one on the list.
I didn't know about that, but I know in America, I think something like over 50% of America's billionaires are Jewish. And if you were to really filter out the 1% of America, you're basically going to reduce it down to Jews. And so Jews are the 1%, and therefore they are, when you talk about taking down the 1%, unless you're willing to say, I'm willing to work against Jewish power and recognize Jewish power, you're basically just fooling yourself, you know, just to talk about the 1% without a clear picture as to who that 1% is silly. And that's something that's missing. You know, it's the 1% against the 99. Okay, yeah, you're right. Okay, but let's deal with who these people are. And when you break it down, it's largely Talmudic Jewish power in America. Bottom line, it's just Jewish Talmudic power. And if you want to see why you've got, because when I grew up, I don't know about you, you know, I assume same for you. For us, when we grew up, it was somewhat of a shame to have like tent cities. You know what I mean? We still believed in someone helping out our own. That's why we had the food stamps and some other help programs when you lost your job. That was kind of to help us out, but it was never a long-term strategy. It was something to help people get back on their feet, and we all kind of supported it, but you didn't. But nowadays, my goodness, all this talk about how we got a booming economy, 244,000 people are now off on the payrolls, and yet all these tent cities everywhere. You know, what's going on?
Well, I don't know where you grew up, Fetch, but the only tent cities that I knew about were the ones in the history book called Hooverville. And the only thing next to that, before 2008, before they stole everybody's money, okay, the next terrorist attack, which was an economic terrorism, and they stole everyone's money in 2007, 2008, getting everybody in all these bad debts, their pensions, their 401ks, killing their jobs, which stole their houses, and put all these people on the street. And, you know, some people were immediate, some people trickled on 2011. So it was like, some people hold out, you know, some people just finally are feeling the effects finally in 2015 for what happened in 2008. Doesn't matter.
No, but this is true.
Before that, the only 10 cities I knew of was the Yogi Bear camping grounds where people went for holiday with their family to enjoy some time away from the city. So,
yeah, well, I think you're right about the 2008, you know, the idea where they've stolen all this wealth and not a single person has been held responsible is a massive admission that there's something drastically wrong within the American political system. I like the Chinese.
Not a person's been held liable for 2001 either.
Right? Exactly, yes.
Nobody's been held
the tech, that's correct. The tech.
Go to Iraq. Go to Afghanistan. Go to Syria now. Now we're going to blame Iran. You know, they blamed a lot of people, but nobody's ever come to justice.
Yeah, don't
even
freak.
Even the falsified killing of what's his name? Bin Laden. For this, you know, Bin Laden had to die twice just to get. And the second time was to get Obama elected.
Yeah, funny. I was actually on the set of Zero Dark Thirty or something like that. The movie about his. Going sure. After him. I was on the set. It was filmed a lot in Jordan. I was actually on that set. I was dressed up as a U.S. general And I was an extra in the movie, and I was just basically talking to everybody about what a fraud this movie was. And then finally somebody came over to me and said, you know, could you please not talk about the movie so negatively? But they had to have me because they had me in a particular scene, and if they needed to put that scene in, they were going to need me again to fill in. So they said, no, you have to come because the director liked your part, and if we use it, we're going to need you prepped for another scene, so you got to show. So I was actually playing a general in that particular movie. That was kind of funny. You know, so I was there when they brought the helicopters in and stuff like that. It was kind of fun. Start. Yeah, go ahead.
Mara was saying somebody died at Aria. Who did she say died? One of the hosts, I think.
I don't know about the host. I thought maybe she was talking about one of our listeners.
She said somebody died of pancreatic cancer.
Yeah, but I believe it was one of our listeners. No, not a host. One of our longtime listeners.
Okay.
So,
what else on your mind? I know I have some other stuff. Oh, you know what? This Donald Trump's Independence Day speech.
I didn't hear it. I was doing my show.
I heard months ago from one of our listeners, and he shares intel that this was supposed to be a declaration of the re-independence of America. But some are saying it's the celebration of being independent, independence of. Anyway, but you got to listen to it, because what he was basically doing, he was listing off all these wars that America went into, and basically all these wars he was listing off that America went into, and the Marines and the Army and the Navy went into, was all based on lies, with the exception of the Revolutionary War itself. But if you talk about the Civil War, if you talk about World War One, World War Two, anything beyond the Revolutionary War, every war we've been cited into was a lie. So basically he was celebrating lies and trying to get people cheered up about our military, that basically, not just the military, but the people themselves, had gone into the wars on all these lies. So you've only got about a minute left to finish it off.
All right. Thanks, man. Again, I did not catch the speech. We started with some of that during our show Thursday, and people said, Fetch, you're making a six. So I stopped playing any of the experts. It wasn't all that impressive. I haven't heard the speech. Again, a lot of us are disappointed with the Trump. Our point here on this Independence Day, everybody, is America is no longer independent. Neither are the people of the UK, Germany, etc. We are all in a very tightly constructed occupation with its roots in Jerusalem, you could say, where this New World Order Center is, and it must be overthrown. It must be pushed back against. And with that, we are out of time. Have a great weekend, though, everybody. Finish. You might as well enjoy the weekend. Nothing wrong with that. And we'll see you all next Thursday inside the iLive prime time. What is it? 3 to 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern. 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Thursday. See you then. Good night, everybody, from Oklahoma.